Well, we continue our evening series, We Believe, and tonight, We Believe, I'm going to keep you waiting. We're going to have to move, as it were, out of our comfort zone tonight, and we're going to think in ways and dimensions that are perhaps unfamiliar to us. Now, last time we talked about the fall. You remember, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were in a garden paradise. Into the garden comes the enemy of God. Serpent, he's Satan. He speaks rebellion. It's that jarring note, isn't it? Eve listens, Adam follows, together they do that which God has forbidden. They eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is an act of defiance. Sin enters the world. And the consequences are immediate and catastrophic. What did God say? For the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. But Adam has eaten of it. And so now he is under a death sentence. So that is all our time. This is more than just physical death. This is separation from God under the curse. And unless something changes dramatically, then to the ultimate separation. God in heaven, Adam in hell, when he will burn under the anger of God forever, by the fall of the second death. God's sentence of destruction upon the guilty now falls on Adam's head. But it doesn't stop with Adam. Because, says the Bible, you and me have inherited Adam's guilt. In God's sight, what Adam did, I did. And God's sentence of destruction upon the guilty isn't just on Adam's head, it's also upon mine. I too am under a death sentence. Might we believe? What did the Bible say that we are to believe? We believe in inherited guilt. In other words, we are counted guilty of Adam's sin. The point of leaving, let this kick in into our mind, each of us is in the attack, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, verse 1. Point number one, what does it mean to be a child of Adam? Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, all sin. Who is the human race descended from? One man. The first man, Adam. Paul proclaims the Athenians, people very proud of their ethnic roots. But he says to them this, that God made from one blood every nation of men dwell upon the face of the earth. You see, they're all related. Human race is one. I'm the child of John Henry. You're the child of whoever it is. But ultimately, we are all the children of Adam. We all share the same father. Your DNA, my DNA, first appeared in Adam. We've not got a survey on the first of them. At the end of it, I was asked the usual question, how would you describe yourself? Would you describe yourself as white British? White Irish? I hope I'm colorblind. So if I don't sort people according to their color, I don't want to be sorted according to my color. You just put me down as British. That's what I am. I'm British. But often whether I'm the son of an enemy, whether I'm British, I have to say that I am a child of Adam. human beings, but ultimately where I get my identity from. One man, Adam, therefore just as through one man. Talking about Adam. If you like, I am part of Adam. Back in the beginning, I was in him. Look at a tree. Tree growing out of a root. When it comes to human family tree, who is the root? It's Adam. Now, you know, there's lots of different branches of the human family tree, but we've all grown out of the one root. Adam is the father of us all. Okay, that's a good joke, but the whole point is this. What happened to the roots? That's the important thing. What happened to the root has dramatically affected the whole tree. What happened to Adam in Eden impacts directly upon his children, the human race, upon you and me. What did Adam do? Well, you see, he ate the fruit, walked out on God. He sinned. Part of the heels of sin came death. Though you eat it, you will surely die. And in one sense, that day, Adam did die. Separated from God. Already this temple, which is man, is in ruin. Eventually that temple will crumble to the ground, for dust to us, and dust shall return. But if what Adam did directly affects me, if the actions of the father are visited upon the children, what does that mean for you and me? That's what Paul is saying in verse 12. He's spelling it out. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, where the death sentence came from, and thus, talking about you and me now, and thus death spread to all men, all sin. In other words, when the root went rotten, so did the whole tree. Adam walked out on God, so in the reckoning of God did the human race. When Adam sinned, in a very real sense, he too sinned, because we were in him. Paul's language is very careful. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Past tense. Death spread to all men because of what Adam did. Because of what Adam did, we all die. Death spread to all men, says Paul, because all sinned. Isn't that because Adam sinned, when it comes to our turn, we too will sin? Doesn't say that because Adam sinned, we're born into this world as sinners? No, when Adam sinned, because we related to him, we also sin. We all sin in Adam. But if I was there, taking the fruit, eating it myself. Very unfamiliar thinking to us, isn't it? With our Western minds. These dimensions which the Bible brings to us. I sin in Adam. Adam walked out on God. God counted up all guilty. Is why we teach dark. This is sort of why a baby, even before he's taken his first breath, die in the womb. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death sin, thus death spread to all men, all past tense, all sin. Think of it like this. God's eyes have the portrait of the first man. He was our representative. He was our head. Now, not so strange, is it? We're familiar with the representative principle. British people have elected Tony Blair Prime Minister. Remember him? And on the world stage, Tony Blair acted on our behalf. He was our representative. He was our head. The views he expressed in the name of the British people. It was the views of the United Kingdom. therefore negotiated that he would sign on the dotted line, signed for all. Likewise, if he walked away from the negotiations, he wasn't just Tony Blair walking away from the negotiations, it wasn't just a personal act. In the eyes of everyone else, it was the United Kingdom, it was the British people who were walking away from the negotiations. The representative principle is representing us. He's acting on our behalf. What he does is binding on us all. That's why when he committed us to the war in Iraq, what the Tony Blair in person does the war, that's just we're binding upon the whole nation. It is the British people in the United Kingdom that went to war. So remember those things, aren't they? Not strange representative principles. That's what we always have about representatives. But God infallibly chose us as our representative of the human race. Like he's the head of mankind. He stands for us all. What he did is binding upon all he represents, on all his children, the human race. That is a binding on us all. So when Adam walked out on God, so in the reckoning of God, he agreed. Adam sinned, so in the reckoning of God, he agreed. That's Paul's point of verse 13. He's trying to throw more light on what it's saying. Verse 13. Until the law was in the world, until the law, sin was in the world. The sin is not instituted when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though those who had not sinned, according to the righteousness of the transgression of Adam, who was timed to be born to come. Okay, sorry, hold on. Adam sinned. Adam died. His children died. And his brothers. And his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, they all died. Why did they die? Was it for their own sin? All of them sinned within the world. Did they die because of sin that they had done? Paul's answer is no. They died because of what Adam had done. You see, verse 13, before the Ten Commandments came through Moses, there was no law. So if there is no law, you can't be arrested and you can't be condemned. I can be convicted. Why? Because there's a law against pinching other people's cars. But if there wasn't a law against pinching cars, I could go and take your car and you might not like it. So verse 14, from Adam to Moses, there was no law. Ten Commandments hadn't yet come. There was no law in the world, and yet people died. Well, for whose sin were they condemned to death? But it wasn't their own, because the law hadn't come yet. Condemned to death for Adam's sin. They sinned in Adam. Take the worst case scenario. Here's Cain, he murdered his brother Abel. And at that time, there was no law saying, you shall not murder. Cain couldn't be arrested, he couldn't be convicted, he couldn't be condemned for a law which did not yet exist. Yet he died. Why did he die? For whose sin was he condemned? Adam. Even all those 14, the world is full of people before the Ten Commandments who hadn't done what Adam did, yet they died. Why? Because they sinned in Adam. Reckoning of God, Adam's crime was their crime. Who's arguing? But now listen to that. The fruit went to what the man. All three was together. All three was counted guilty. So our representative walked out of God, he's acting for us all. In God's reckoning, we all walked out of God. Therefore, we all must now live with the consequences of what Adam has done. Believe in the heritage of guilt. made us in Adam, we too must die. When this body breathes in part, it will be a few weeks under a death sentence, put there by Adam. All sin. Here's a big question. Can I escape from this? If I sinned in Adam, if I'm not a bit, that was thousands of years ago. What's done is done. I can't undo what Adam did, but I'm dealing with what he did. Can it be undone? Is there any way out? Only if another Adam. Only if there's another representative who can undo what the first Adam did. Only if another Adam comes who can regain the paradise which the first Adam lost. Why is there such a person? Oh, yes, of course, there is. He gives a clue at the end of verse 14, doesn't he? Look about there. Not sin that was divine, it's the first of Adam. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam, the first Adam, is a picture, a pointer to someone who's going to come. So there is another Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam. And this representative principle that someone has done on our behalf, which is brought into such ruin, now becomes a very principle to rescue us from that ruin. What Adam has plunged us into by acting on our behalf, Jesus can pull us out of by acting on our behalf. Still with us. And now point number two. Let's talk about this. Another Adam. The last Adam. We're entering verse 2 to 21. Well, the language is complex, but what Paul is saying is actually very straightforward. He's comparing Adam and Christ. He was two representatives. But, what he says, how different they are. The free gift is not like the offense. Christ and Adam are very different, although there are parallels between them. Simply put, it's this. Adam brought disaster of all who had joined to him. He made everything great. But Christ brings everlasting blessing to all who had joined to him. Believe it. To be in Adam is to lose. To be in Christ is to gain all. Look at these verses, a quick fire, a little quick fire, sevenfold contrast between Adam and Christ. Now think of help us through, think of two suitcases, right? The suitcase here, this one's marked Adam. The suitcase here, this one's marked Christ. Now if you open the suitcase marked Adam and look inside, what can you find? You open the suitcase marked Christ, by contrast verse 15-21, you'll find something very different. Question you, my friend, is this. Are you in Adam? It always says about him. Or are you in Christ? It says about him. Which of these two do you join? Okay, number one. Adam, we die. Christ, we're saved. Verse 15. Pretty good, it's not like the offense. For if by one man's offense they die, much more the grace of God, the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to them. Adam's sin plunged the world into death. But Jesus doesn't really right that wrong. Didn't just undo or rub out what Adam did. Out of God's overflowing love, albeit the grace of God, we enjoy God's overflowing, wonderful, glorious salvation. try to just parallel out what Adam did. He gives so much more to those who come to him. Find out what can it mean. He said, where Christ displays his healing power, death and the curse are known no more. In him and in Jesus, tribes of Adam both are blessings of their God. Number two, Adam went to death. Christ was put right with God, verse 16. And the gift was not like that which came to the one who sinned. But the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Adam, by that one offense, condemned the world. But Jesus done much more than just right that one wrong. He suffered on the cross for many offenses. So in Christ, I'm not just forgiven for the one sin I sinned in Adam. Christ Jesus didn't deal with that one thing. I'm actually forgiven for all my sins. Justified, acquitted, but right with God. Number three. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, life reigns. Verse 17 says, by one man's offense, the sin of the truth, death reigns through the one, through Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Adam, by that one offense, plunged the human race into an ocean of death. You know, if I go to a field, go to a turnstile, go to a turnstile, there'll be some big notice up there, isn't there? We're supposed to be in the rules of this part. Well, as we come into this world, we pass through the turnstile. As we pass the turnstile, there's a great big notice up for everyone to read. What that notice says is, no one get out of here alive. If you come into this world, you don't get out of it alive, do you? That's what Adam has received. We're all sitting around waiting for our turn. You see the ambulance coming, the blue light flashing. We say, well, friends, it's not me. Well, I'm 10, I think, well, I've maybe got 70, 80 years left. But I'm middle-aged now. Well, I'm only halfway through, I've got 80 yet. Well, I'm not in my old age, they say, well, it's probably this year that I come. All of us are waiting to die. All of us are waiting for our exit. That's what Adam has received. Death reigns through the one. There's no exception to it. But if you come to Jesus, all you're receiving a gift. It's the gift of righteousness. It simply means I have a right standing with God. And therefore death can no longer terrify you. On the contrary, verse 17, you reign in life. Now, what does that mean? Well, tell me that. Die the heart. As he was taken to the hospital, in an ambulance, blue flashing lights, everything else, his son-in-law went with him. So, but the man who died and his son-in-law were lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were Christians. Now, you can imagine the cat out of the heart. All sorts of things going on in the back of the ambulance. Great flurry of activity, a great urgency. It's all right and good, but son-in-law said this. It's hard for you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Know where he is. You see, Christ by his face cancelled that man's death. Therefore, when it came to him, came for him to die, it wasn't death to die. He wasn't leaving this world through the doorway that leads to hell. On the contrary, he's leaving this world through the entrance that leads to heaven. It's like he's not out alive. He is going to heaven. Verse 17. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. No worries that he knows where he's going. Going to glory, going to the land of the living.
Death no longer reigns over him, no longer terrifies him.
God found his fellow citizens into the past, then to the land of the living. God never going to get there. God said, now where is Jesus of Nazareth, my true, never failing friend? Adam is then Christ, the vindicated and justified, the right of God, verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, that's what Adam's given to us, his offense brought us all under God's judgment, even so through one man's righteous act, freedom came to all men, resulting in justification of life. See what Christ has done. Adam's one offense, he ate the fruit, it brought condemnation. Going to hell. But Jesus, by his one righteous act, it wasn't an offense, it was a righteous act, his death on the cross, that brought vindication. All who know him, trust him, love him, they go to heaven to be with him. Christ doesn't merely open the prison door, say you're free, bring sinners into his very presence, joy. God's life with him in heaven. God knows what he said. He just says to know that he knows that he knows that he Adam messed up, Christ puts it right. Verse 19. Right by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Adam did wrong. Why we're far from God, he messed up. By contrast, Jesus did right. Why those who come to him are brought near to God. He put things right. God Jesus Christ said, now our disobedience is in heaven. He can come to Number 6. Sin abounded, grace super about the first thing. Moreover, the law ended with the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. When God's law did find the you confirm Adam's choice every day. He had one commandment to break. You have 10 commandments which you break every day. See, those 10 commandments of God, they've made greater sinners of us. Now we really know what offends God. We can break his commands and go our own way even more ways. Therefore, deserving of condemnation many, 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 many times over. Not just the one sin in Adam that condemns me, but the many sins that I personally commit every day. But where sin abounds, and it abounds in my life, isn't it? Grace abounds in my life. I deserve to be condemned every day of the day of my soul. If I come to Jesus, wonderful, superabundant grace,
doesn't just deal with that one offending habit. It pardons all my offenses. This is why he is there. It requires great grace to cancel that one sin habit. That's what amazing grace is. It cancels a billion sins. My sin, oh the bliss of his glorious thought. My sin, not in part, not just the one that Adam committed, not in part, but the whole, nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what the number 10. In that suitcase you had in it's the old one. It's a suitcase with Christ. It's a new one. It's the new one. So that as sin reigns in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think of the landscape. Yes, that's what barren point is. You are going to press the button. Also, it was Adam. This is the third world that he's beginning to us, where sin reigns in death, how Paul puts it. So the Christians are in a new landscape. It's rich, free, abundant. It's alive. It's a new world. It's a new creation. Who made it like this? Who made this world of blessing? That is not the destruction of devastation. Christ, our Lord, makes a new world. This world is all about Adam or Christ. He said, Jesus came. In this ruined world, sin and death. And by his cross, he dealt with that sin. And he dealt with death. That whoever comes to him, says Paul, can enjoy eternal life. On the living. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life in Jesus Christ. This might be this one's wrong. It's not wrong. It wouldn't be in life anyway. It's condemnation. It's not guilt. One day I'll have to face the meaning. And I can't get away from it. I see sin. I'm a sinner. I sinned in Adam and I'm a sinner in my own life. I see ruin. Ultimately, as I look inside, I see hell. To be in Adam is to lose all, isn't it? Live as a sinner, is to die as a sinner, and with Adam at my bedside is to go to the place of sinners. The everlasting punishment of hell. Are you happy with it? That's where you are. That's what you're going to. That's what Adam's given. And there are no options. This is the father of us all. Are you happy with it? You're going to stick with it. Say, Adam's my man. I'm with Adam. You're happy with that? Like me, I don't know where you are. Why? But there's an alternative. There's another Adam. He's the last Adam. He's Jesus Christ. Now look into this case. What do you see? What does it mean to be in Christ? What it means? Life. Life. In a world of death, there's life. the enjoyment of God. For though Jesus Christ delivered a new way, our heart that beats to a new rhythm, that walks in step with God, it means salvation. Like I say, I'm saved. Thought I'm a guilty, wretched, filthy sinner. I've broken all the commandments, but I've been saved. Right with God. I live under His blessing. Often as I look in this page, what do I see? I see heaven, glory. To be in Christ is to gain it all. To live in a new way, loving Him, following Him, keeping His command, walking in His way. Enjoy the calm of sins forgiven. When at last I come to die, who's at my side? He's right with you, that Son of the Lord. Don't worry. He knows where He's going. Christ will be holding my hand. When I go into that dark valley, His rod and His staff, they'll comfort me. Because His rod has disarmed the power of death. And His shepherd's staff will lead me safely through. Only a valley of shadows, because on the farther side, where the light shines, there's glory. All right. Knows where He's going. I know where I'm going. Go to heaven. To be forever with the Lord. But then, is that what you want? Now, all of us were born into Adam. That's what He's given to us. But if I'm to be saved, I must be born into Christ. I must be born again. Who are you? Are you born again? You see, Jesus, by His one righteous act, by His death on the cross, He cancels out of sin all who come to Him. He covers their disobedience with His obedience. He does everything necessary to put them right with God. That's why the passage here speaks of grace. Wonderful love, it's not deserved, it's wonderful, and it flows towards undeserving sinners, the unlovely and the unlovable. That's why passage speaks of the gift. Because this wonderful new beginning, this salvation, is a gift that God freely gives to all who come to Christ. What do you want? Do you want to stay with Adam, the single man? Or to live and die? I've shown many before me. Christ, John. The last act. Jesus Christ. Maybe I'll come to God. I'll come to Him with that gift. I'll come to Him with that salvation. Lord, I messed up. He died on a cross to save, messed up, he barely told me about it. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Save me. You know it. Stick with Adam. He's never done it.